This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. This is the fourth and final part of our conversation with Emily Morrow, the Director of Color, Style, and Design at Shaw.
You talked earlier about some of the products that were produced as a result of your Visions Retreat. Mm-hmm. How are names affixed? I always wondered about that. How are names, who comes up with the names? How's that whole process work?
You know, sometimes the names just come right out. They just are so fitting, and sometimes it's a challenge. The style names, for instance, for inspired spaces, that'll be the easiest to give you for example. You know, we had a crocodile, so we called it Outward Bound. We had a zebra, and we called it Cape Mountain, so that, you know, the consumer really got a feel for the inspiration of that particular product. And it gets a little harder when you're into more of the just frisés in the Saxony and textured products. You know, it's always a little challenging, but we feel like the name's so important to make that emotional connection.
Yeah.
And you know, I even always compare it to nail polish colors. When we get even into the color names, I said, you know, the color names are always a challenge for us because there are only so many ways you can name beige. Or brown, but for instance, too, about color names. If you look at some of our color palettes, and you can almost pick out if it was done before lunchtime or after lunchtime. I have some that are called biscotti and sun-dried tomato, and you know, it's because we're hungry, maybe, or you know, later in the afternoon, we may be thinking about coffee and chocolate. So
you put the people at Crayola to shame here with those names.
Well, we just want to have a little more fun with the names to make it fun for the consumer as well.
I gotcha. Do you have an archive of designs that you've done? I mean, I have to imagine you sit down and you design something and it may not fit today, but it may fit tomorrow. And I'm wondering, is there an archive that you develop, especially with all the technology that you have available to you?
Well, the senior designers here at R&D are a wealth of information just with their own memories, and of course with their own computers, they do archive patterns. But we do have a lot of actual prototypes that are archived for future purposes. We may not launch it this year. We may launch it in 2 years. And it's always fun to go back and just pull these prototypes a year later after the development teams have come up with them and revisit them, because sometimes great ideas are just a little ahead of their time.
So an idea may be great, you tweak the color and you have something that you came up with a year ago or so.
Yeah. And it goes back to what you were mentioning earlier about the different equipment and you know, all the different hands it goes through. You know, a technician may have been running trials, evaluating different pile heights or different yarns. You know, it's a million different things that he may be trying. And, you know, when we go through the products and look at them, you know, it's amazing to see what different ideas are spawned from different people's minds, depending on their background. You know, we have the stylists, the designers, the colorists, and, of course, then all the other endless technical talents that are within the process. But I think the collaboration is the key part of the overall process. It's just the ongoing collaboration between all the groups.
What do you see long term in carpet design, carpet and the kind of colorations? Do you think that the carpet, if we're sitting here 10 years from today having a conversation, do you think the products we'll be looking at will look dramatically different from the ones that we're looking at today?
If I could predict one thing, I would just predict that they're cyclical. You know, I grew up in Dalton, Georgia, and we have such a good time at looking at how things cycle and come back around from previous, 30 years ago. And if I could just project and look into the future, I'm sure that we'll see a lot of things return again. I think color and pattern and texture and all of those things will always be important. I think because we just want to be we want to be engaged with our senses when we see things in our home. I think that's probably the one thing that we haven't paid enough attention to in our carpet development. Just as we're sitting here in our office, I have this piece of carpet here on the floor that's bound, and it's the zebra. And, you know, I catch myself throughout the day just, you know, my eyes just drift to it because of the dimensional elements of the different pile heights and just the way the light catches the little tufts and just the richness of the color. You know, I think that's the one thing that we all look for and need. So I don't know if that quite answers your question, but that's what I see as an ongoing need.
Now, you had mentioned earlier, and this is, if somebody says zebra stripe to me, I think of obviously black and white and dramatic.
Right.
This is dramatic, but it's basically all one color.
It is.
And
it is.
It's subtle, yet it's dramatic.
Amen, brother.
Well, that sounded like a designer there, didn't I?
You did.
You were talking about some of the things that consumers can do on the ShawFloors.com website. And in that you are selling them hardwood and ceramic and other products, could somebody get a rug like this zebra product that you just described that would be, you know, would fit well on their hardwood floor?
Oh my goodness, yes. And that was really the biggest information I think that we were able to share with the consumer was the fact that any broadloom style of carpet is available bound. And it's really up to her to decide which look she wants to bring into her space. Obviously, with the opportunity of bound pieces of carpet, she has a variety of looks that she can bring into her space and change it out seasonally or periodically, which we do that even here in this facility, in our lobby. We are constantly changing out the piece of bound carpet just in the entry. And today, as you walked in, there was a nice... again, back to the zebra, but it was in a really soft aqua. And the next time you visit the building, we may have a houndstooth in a really rich color. So it changes the space and gives her that flexibility as well.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. In terms of, we were talking about the fact that broadloom, per se, has lost share and has lost really a lot of exposure on the first floor. And I suspect... having a high-designed, perfectly colored rug at higher end, although it may not capture the same dollars, it certainly does a good deal towards recovering some of the first floor. And I could also see that, as we talked earlier, a carpet buyer, a floor covering buyer, may be tentative about putting this zebra on a wall-to-wall basis, they seem like they would have very little problem doing it with even a sizable area rug. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think it's that commitment to the wall-to-wall versus the flexibility that the bound offers. And I think having that bound piece of carpet is allows them that freedom to feel like, okay, I've purchased this, I'm bringing it into my space, but let's say in a year from now, if I decide I want to change it, I can. And I think it goes back to more options, more flexibility, more looks. And I think this gives that that person, that consumer, that flexibility to do that.
Interesting. Just to sum up, looking back at the retreat this year, just sum that up for us. Obviously, it was a fun 3 days, a hectic three days for you, and a demanding 3 days. I'm sure all the designers that were here had a good time and go back to their jobs with a different outlook.
Yeah.
Just sum it up for us and what you think they got out of it and what you and your people got out of it.
You know, to sum it up, I couldn't do it in a short time frame, but I'll do my best.
We got all kinds of time.
Yesterday morning, I had coffee with some of the ones that had midday flights before they left for the airport, and they all remarked about how wonderful the experience was, how much it helps them in their own projects back with their clients, and how excited they are to see the products when they come out at winter markets, and to see how their input and their comments and their inspiration is translated into our products. And I think how it helps us, it energizes us, although I say that tongue-in-cheek because we're exhausted right now, but it does energize us in our ideas and our creativity and innovation. And I think the process is perfectly suited for thinking in innovative ways, because you're not limiting yourself through any way. You're thinking out of the box. You're allowing people to come in and see how you do things and challenge you to do it even better and to grow. And I think that's what we take out of this most of all, is that that we just push ourselves even further to grow and push the limits of what we're doing and just continue to raise the bar even more in a million different ways.
Very good. Emily, pleasure having you on here.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
And let's do it again.
I would love that. Thanks.
Looking forward to it. Okay. We've been talking with Emily Morrow. She is Director of Color, Style, and Design at Shaw Industries. And this is Floor Radio.